Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
We're headed to Florida for today's installment of our spring previews. Nick De La Torre joins me. He's from Gators Online, which is the On3 website covering Florida. Got a really good crew down there covering the Gators. And, I mean, we know the situation down there in Florida, right? Year three of Billy Napier. The first 2 years have not gone according to what Florida fans would expect from their program. What's the mood, though, of the program and those within the building going into this year three?
Yeah, spring's the time for when hope springs eternal, right? Yeah. All the stories out of spring are happy and positive. That's the case in Gainesville. There's a lot of newness. Three new coaches on the defensive side of the ball, including Ron Roberts, who was Billy Napier's defensive coordinator at Louisiana. So there's a lot of hope. I think you get that hope because of the new coaches. You get that hope because you have a 23-year-old quarterback coming back in Graham Mertz, who, you know, I questioned the take even when Florida took him last year. You know, what are you doing going to the Big Ten, namely Wisconsin? Yeah. This is an offense and an expectation of offense that Steve Spurrier built, that Urban Meyer tweaked, but, you know, raised to new levels, and Wisconsin can't spell pass and has no interest in it. And Graham Mertz certainly exceeded all those expectations. And there's such a history of quarterbacks in the second year of the system coming out of the transfer portal. If you look at, you know, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, that second year in the system, there's usually a big jump. And then you've got some guy named DJ Lagway, who I think won every single award. They might have created new awards because of how good he was in high school to give him. So there's a lot of hope in this season and then certainly in the future because of DJ Lagway and Graham Mertz, both at the quarterback position.
There's just no getting around the schedule for Florida. It is literally the hardest schedule I've ever seen a college football team have. It's going to be even a really good team would struggle against this schedule. There'll certainly be tough games. So what's a reasonable expectation for this team this season with this schedule? And is, you know, whatever you say, is that going to be enough to satisfy Florida fans?
Yeah. I thought, you know, before the transfer portal opened, I thought, hey, this schedule might just be brand names and, you know, it might be brand name cereal, but the cereal might be stale. You know, Florida-Miami is a great rivalry game. They don't play every year anymore, so that's a hugely important game. But they had lost their quarterback. And you look at Tennessee, was losing Joe Milton. And you look at Kentucky, and they lost their quarterback. And LSU is losing Jaden Daniels. And Florida State lost Jordan Travis. And then the transfer portal happens, and all of those teams picked up a quarterback, whether it's, you know, DJ, Cam Ward. I think that every single team picked up their quarterback. So for Florida, when I look at this schedule, I've been saying you need to catch wins early or you'll catch hands late. I said that last year, and Florida's over under last year was 5.5, and they went into the Georgia game with 5 wins and lost out. They were 5-2 and finished 5-7. So it turned out that way last year. I think I look at this schedule and I think 7-5 would be really, really good. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's winning and losing and just, you know, what the number is. And then how do you look? Because if you lose to Georgia by 35, that feels a lot different than, you know, even losing to Georgia by 14, but it was a game late in the fourth quarter. The beginning of the season to me is just massively important for Billy Napier. When you look at that Florida-Miami game, my dad went to the University of Florida, graduated in the 70s, and I think 79, actually, when they went 0-10-1. But Florida and Miami played every year. I'm from South Florida. I remember Florida and Miami playing every year, and this rivalry is so heated. You have two coaches who were hired the same offseason who are both under 500. And I think it's almost an easier game for Mario Cristobal because he's on the road. Both of these coaches are trying to sell hope. Good luck selling hope to your fan base who desperately wants to beat their rival in this game. And I think you can sell it a little bit more by losing on the road. Good luck, losing to Miami week one and then trying to sell that game. And you get your one non-Power 5 opponent after that, Samford, and then it's Texas A&M and Mississippi State. So I think Florida fans think, okay, you've got some new coaches coming in, then UCF, but then you're at Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State. So like I said, you need to catch wins early because you might catch hands late.
Yeah, and, of course, Mississippi State on that schedule. That's the week four game. The first three for Florida, as you mentioned, Miami and then Samford, their one FCS opponent. Then they host Texas A&M. So that game against Mississippi State, first trip for the Gators here since Dan Mullen's return in 2018, that feels like a massive swing game for both teams. Like the loser of that game is going to be really struggling for bowl eligibility. The winner is going to probably have a chance to have a postseason play. How crucial is that game on the schedule for Florida?
That's crucial. I mean, if I look and I've played this game with Florida fans, you know, here's a realistic what I think will happen, and everything can change with injuries. And here's my like best case scenario. My best case scenario, I have Florida beating, you know, Miami, Samford, A&M, Mississippi State, UCF, starting 5-0. And then there's still a very real road to 5-7 even after that. And I think what Florida fans are holding on to early on in this schedule is if you beat Miami, that's a home game. You get Texas A&M, it's a new coaching staff at home. You beat UCF, it's at home. The one thing that should concern Florida fans is Florida's been a completely different football team on the road. Not that they've been great anywhere, but they've been worse on the road, and they haven't been able to figure out how to play competitive and at times even competent football on the road. It was my first trip to Starkville, that Dan Mullen year, before that milk went sour, which I'm sure fans of at Mississippi State.
One of the grossest football games ever played, too. Just an awful game.
Not a great game. Yeah, that was Todd Grantham's like engage eight at the very end, sack, and you squeak out. You squeak out a win. But yeah, Dan has a way of rubbing fan bases the wrong way. So I'm sure the Mississippi State fans know what I'm talking about there. Yes. But that game was ugly. But that place is loud. Florida has sent routinely 10 guys on the field. One time they sent 11 guys on the field, but only 10 different numbers jersey-wise, which you also can't do.
Yes.
And those cowbells are loud. Like Mississippi State, I gave it a lot of credit. I think I joked in the past that it was a small stadium. I had never been there. And then the first time I went, I was like, okay, yeah, there's a reason why they made rules about when you can and cannot clang your bell. So I gained a lot of respect for Mississippi State when I went there. And that'll be a really tough environment. That'll be Florida's first road game. I think it helps that you have a veteran quarterback. But what does the offensive line look like? I don't know that Florida's offensive line, they tell us and they feel like they got a lot better. I don't know that they have. And I think they'll be, you know, back in the shopping aisle when the portal opens again, which might prove my point that I don't think they did enough in recruiting and then the first portal window on the offensive line. So that's going to be a huge test.
You talked a little bit about Graham Mertz so far, and I'm with you on the surprise factor of how good he was a season ago. And nobody completely flew under the radar. Nobody really realized the kind of season he was having down there in Gainesville. How much better can he be for this Florida team in his second year down there?
Yeah, I think in talking to Graham, I think this time last year he was still learning his receivers' names. While learning a playbook and trying to do all these things. And I think there's something to be said for that. I think Graham last year, I'll say that he did everything he was asked to do. In the beginning of the year, I kept telling fans who would throw his completion percentage at me. He led the SEC in completion percentage. And then I said, okay, well, 70% of those completions are coming 8 yards and in. He's not throwing the ball down the field. Florida's not pushing the ball down the field. They're not asking him to make difficult throws. Last year, when right around the Georgia game time, or actually it happened at South Carolina, Florida's losing on the road at South Carolina. in October, the week before the bye week, and they asked Graham to win the game with his arm, and he did. Obviously, the Georgia game was going to be the Georgia game, but then you had to play Arkansas, LSU, Missouri, Florida State. All four of those games, they had to ask Graham to throw the ball, and he's pushing the ball downfield. So I think no matter what it was that they asked Graham Mertz to do, he was able to do it and do it at a high level last year. So I think just the comfortability he has, the familiarity he has with the offense now, it should help him in this season. And talking to Billy Napier, he says, you know, we almost have two different quarterback rooms because we have Graham, who's in essentially in college calculus, and then we have a freshman who, while super talented, is learning not only the playbook, the plays, the audibles, the names, the nomenclature. He's learning just how to be a college student on top of that. So it's almost like you're teaching. You have two different classes in the quarterback room, and I think they will use DJ Lagway to some extent, but I think really it's just how old Graham is, and we're sort of getting away from this, but Graham will be 24 by the end of the season. You know, we've got these COVID seniors who are still around and still older. And I was watching baseball over the weekend. I'm like, this is an 18-year-old pitcher facing a 25-year-old 6-year senior. I'm like, this guy should be playing in the minors. And you know, of course, the 18-year-old gives up a home run. So we're getting those older guys out out of the system here in a couple of years, but I think having an older quarterback who's experienced, has played, started over 40 games should bode well for Florida.
There was a quote earlier this week from Ole Miss defensive end Princely. Oh, I'm going to do the
Oh
best I can
yeah,
here. Umama
Uman
Mayen.
Mielen. I'll help you
Thank
out
you.
there.
Thank you
It
very
took us
much.
years. So yeah, I got you.
Well, and thankfully I don't cover Ole Miss, so this will probably be the only time I really have to talk much about him. But basically, I don't know if calling out is the right term, but talked about how much more structure and how he feels like he's getting better coaching at Ole Miss than he did at Florida, and that the Florida defensive scheme was basically like use your talent and go from there, and not as much structure as that's the way I would put it. What were your thoughts on that quote and that Florida defense? You know, Austin Armstrong is a guy we in Mississippi are familiar with from his time at Southern Mississippi. What is that defense going to look like in 2024?
Yeah, I think Prince is a guy who's always going to speak his mind. He had two separate coaches. So the coach he was speaking about there was Mike Peterson, who's Florida's outside linebackers coach here. I would say that Prince Lee was last year was the first time he was really asked to drop in coverage a bunch. Thought he did well. But yeah, Prince Lee's a guy who's going to speak his mind. I don't know that Florida, the coaching staff, the fans were definitely on Prince Lee, and he had a love-hate relationship with the Florida fans, a guy that would get on Twitter, and we would tell him, like, hey, just don't get on Twitter today. But yeah, it was definitely did come across as a shot. I think fans took it as a shot, but there's also a probably minority, but a vocal minority of Florida fans that are like done with the staff, and they're like, go Princely. So it remains to be seen. He's a very talented player. He led Florida in tackles for loss and sacks in each of the last two seasons. So Florida's trying to figure out how to replace him. I'm interested to see. I think Austin Armstrong's a great coach. The defense last year was terrible. And then you bring in Ron Roberts. Austin Armstrong is 20 something years younger than Ron Roberts, was Ron Roberts' graduate assistant at Louisiana. Right now, in the spring, when everything is positive, they're working together great. And Ron's able to step right in and knows the play calls. Ron knows what the scheme is. Ron knows what the objective is because it's a Ron Roberts defense, and it's what Austin Armstrong learned under Ron Roberts. My question that I posed all offseason is, when you get into the season and you have a game where you give up 500 yards, or you have a game where you lose at Mississippi State, and they're able to score and put up yards, or if you lose at Tennessee and Nico has a game where he throws for 400 and runs for 200, do the egos start getting in the way? Does the mentor, who is now just a position coach under his mentee, does he start saying, hey, I should be the one calling plays? So that's what I see is right now. you're 0-0. You haven't lost a game. You're not really facing adversity other than maybe, you know, injuries inside of spring camp. What happens when, you know, the bullets start flying and you start facing some real adversity? But I think Florida has, depth-wise and through the transfer portal, made their cornerback room, their secondary, much more athletic. I think they have added linebackers, one in Miles Graham and then Pup Howard, a transfer from South Carolina. I think the linebacker room is better. They added the number one or number two defensive lineman. I think the number one also went to Ole Miss,
yes,
and Walter Nolan. But getting Joey Slackman, who was the Ivy League Defensive Player of the Year, I think the defensive line's gotten better. So the pieces have gotten better. So now we'll see if the scheme will be better with better pieces.
You mentioned the great history of Florida on offense and going back to Spurrier and all the incredible running backs and receivers that have come through Gainesville. Who are those guys this year? You know, obviously Trevor Etienne made the trip up to Athens. I'm sure that went over really well down there in Gainesville. Who are those guys that are going to run the ball, to catch the ball, and make the big plays for the Gators this year?
Yeah, you get Montrell Johnson back at running back. He has run for at least 800 yards, I think, in all three of his seasons. The first was with Billy Napier at Louisiana, and then 2 years here at Florida. He's a senior. Treyon Webb, who's just from up the road in Jacksonville. And then you added somebody who you guys are probably familiar with in Canyon Daniels, who I think is such a talent, can really run the ball. I think ran the ball for over 2,000 yards in his junior and his senior seasons in Mississippi. And they kind of asked him to do everything. Hey, can you carry the footballs to practice, run the ball, throw the ball? Can you tackle somebody? Can you play catcher for the baseball team? He kind of did everything in high school. He's super talented. Jaden Ball is another running back they added. I think the running back room, losing Trevor Etienne, I think will be worse for the perception. And it was terrible for perception, especially when he goes to Georgia, a school you haven't beat in half a decade. And I think the production-wise, I think the running back room will be fine. The biggest thing for me is you have Eugene Wilson, and I keep using this analogy for Florida fans. Eugene Wilson is an incredible talent, had a great freshman season. But in 2020, when Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney were wreaking havoc during that COVID season, when Kyle Pitts got a concussion, it became a lot easier to defend Kadarius Toney. And nothing changed with Kadarius Toney. It's just you don't have to pick your poison. There's only one you have to worry about now. Last year, you had Ricky Pearsall and Eugene Wilson. You kind of had to pick your poison. Who do we want to double or shift our attention and our focus to? And then that opens up for somebody else. I don't know that Florida has identified that person to take the heat and take the eyes and the pressure off of Eugene Wilson just yet. And I think they'll look for a transfer portal wide receiver if they can. And to me, the tight end room is just okay. I like Arliss Boardingham. I think he needs to learn to block and be a more well-rounded tight end, but he's 6'3", 6'4", 240, and he can run and catch, and he might have a 7-foot, you know, wingspan. He's a really athletic tight end. So offensively, Florida has some pieces, but in the SEC, it's always going to come down to the line of scrimmage. I think Florida is still looking for a starter. I think they have three positions. Center and both tackles are probably solidified in terms of starters, and then you'll probably start a sophomore at left guard, and you're trying to figure out right guard. So you could have great receivers. If the quarterback only has 3.5 seconds to throw it, 2 seconds to throw it, the receivers need to, you know, can only do so much. So I think there's still time, obviously, before the season starts, but there's definitely, I still see holes in the depth chart and on the roster that Florida needs to address.
A lot of great information today, Nick. Really appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again when the season runs around. We're doing some opponent previews here on the podcast. Nick De La Torre, GatorsOnline.com, 413 Sports. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.